Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here tonight. We usually have Bible study, but I went to bed last night, slept about 10 minutes, and the Spirit of the Lord woke me up and dealt with me about two words. And it was on my heart all night, and it's been on my heart all day today. So we're gonna see how this goes. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 28. There's situations in somebody's life in this service tonight. You've got great obstacles. There's great obstacles in your life. And I want you to know that if you'll take heed to the Word of God, that the Spirit of God is going to do a mighty work in your situation, and He's going to change that obstacle to an opportunity. To an opportunity. Amen? And so we want to take heed to what the Word says. So tonight, you may be in a situation where the obstacle, you had something to do with it. It doesn't matter. God can take care of it. Or you may be in a situation where you have an obstacle where you had nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter. God, in either situation or circumstance, we'll look at both sides of the Scripture. The Lord is able to take whatever is lacking and make a bridge through Jesus Christ where you can cross to receive what you need. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Acts chapter 28. Let's read the last two verses. Acts chapter 28, verse number 30. If you're there, say amen. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Now notice this. Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. What was he doing? Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Hallelujah. No person forbidding him. Sister Mandy, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Mandy. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So tonight, I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know what you're facing, what the enemy's trying to stop and to hinder. But I want you to know that when you believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that all the promises of God became yours. Yes. Amen? They're yours tonight. And the Bible says that when you accepted Jesus Christ, that you become a victor. You become an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb. Because your testimony and your confidence in the finished work of the cross, that's who you are. But when you got saved, when you got born again, all of a sudden, you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Because the Bible says that when you got born again, that God reached down and He translated you out of the kingdom of darkness and He placed you in the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. Amen? And so, you accepting the Word of God, accepting Jesus, that Word, you become a light into a world that is lost and undone, a world that is full of sin and full of darkness. Yeah, but God wants to use you. And so the devil hates you with a passion because he hates the one that washed you in his own blood. And he wants to hurt God the Father by hurting you. He wants to try to stop the plan of God. So tonight you may have an obstacle, but if you'll look at what the Word of God says, I promise you that Jesus Christ can take that obstacle and He can make it into an opportunity that will reach your family, that will reach those on your job, that will reach those in your community. He will use that to loose His perfect will. Amen? Amen. So let's see some things. I want you to be encouraged tonight, and I want you to get your mind off the obstacle and get it on the opportunity. Amen? Now, notice here, it says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, think about this. The Apostle Paul is going to Rome, and he's going to trial before Caesar. And he is a prisoner, but yet he's living in his own hired house. Only God can do that. Now, come on now. See, the devil don't want you to know how much power and authority you got in the name of Jesus. He don't want you to realize, even when the enemy tries to pressure you, when the enemy tries to put walls around you, the devil doesn't want you to see that through Jesus Christ, you have authority, you have freedom. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, down about verse 17, there's what? There's liberty. There's liberty. Well, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that means that there's liberty in your life. And so here the Apostle Paul is having to go before Caesar, but he's not bound. He's not bound. Tonight, you're not bound. I don't care what the obstacle looks like. I don't care what the struggle is. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. You are free tonight. Amen? You have a witness. You have a testimony. There is something glorious at work in your life. And here Paul is, and I want you to think about this. Paul wrote 4 epistles that's in your New Testament Bible while he's in this situation. Now think about that. We're blessed tonight. Now you've got to get this in your heart for this obstacle to be turned into opportunity. We're blessed tonight because Paul went through something. Guess what? People around you are blessed tonight because you're going through some things. Because your God will never leave you hanging. Jesus said, I'll go with you till the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Amen? I'll be there with you. And so the more struggle, the more problems that the obstacles arise in your life, it brings an opportunity that otherwise would have never been there. So here the Apostle Paul is. He wrote, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon, what's the other prison epistle? He wrote them in a place where he shouldn't have the freedom to do it. So tonight, guess what? You're able to convey the message of the gospel, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. And he done it in such power, it said that he preached the kingdom of God and he taught those things that concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and not one person stood against him. Now, I want you to see this. Mark down 2 years. 2 years. So we have a period of time of a few weeks that he faced this obstacle. But see, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, about verse number 7, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man, a woman, a boy, a girl sows, that shall they. So he sowed his faithfulness in the midst of this obstacle, and God took those few weeks, and he turned it into years. Oh, glory! Come on now. You're going through something right now. It looks hard. It looks like you cannot get the victory over it. It looks like you can't break through the obstacle. But I'm here to tell you that the longer that the devil puts the pressure on you, the longer period of time you're going to have the victory and the freedom and the witness of the power of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen? It's going to do a miraculous thing. Now, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Let's see just something that Paul said, just for a second of time, what he said about this. In Philippians chapter 1, he makes this statement. Look at verse number 12. You know, if you read out of Ephesians, it's not the same. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. He says, But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, I want you to know everything that's happened to me has happened so the gospel would go forward. Tonight, it's not that you have done something wrong. It's not that you are a failure. It's not any of those things. It's that there is a battle going on between light and dark, between heaven and hell, between God and the devil through Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to put out the light of the Lord, but he can't do it. Amen? Because you have been eternally blood-bought. You're washed. You're walking. You're learning. You're growing. The truth of the Word of God is going into you. And the truth, when it's spoken in love, it grows you up. So tonight, here you are. You need to take this truth into your life. He says in verse number 13, the reason why I'm going through these things, he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Think about it. The Apostle Paul is getting to go someplace he would never get to be. He couldn't put himself there. But the devil says, I'm going to hurt you so bad, I'm going to stop the will and the plan of God. But all he was doing was opening up a door of opportunity for Paul to reach people that otherwise would die and go to hell. But tonight, you and I, we have an assurance that as we go through things, we're going to be in situations and circumstances that looks like an obstacle to the flesh, but we say, no flesh, you shut up. In the name of Jesus, this is not an obstacle to me. This is an opportunity for Jesus Christ to come out of my life and for somebody else to see the goodness and the grace of God. Amen? Verse 14. And he said, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Listen, the things that you go through when you hold on to the hand of Jesus. And it's okay to tell the Lord. Tell Him, Lord, I'm weak in myself, but in You I'm strong. And I'm going to hold Your hand all the way. And I want You to allow people to see You in my obstacle. Because if they see You in my obstacle, they see the opportunity. Oh, glory! And they say, if God would do that in them and through them, He'll do that in me and through me. Amen? Oh, glory. Everything that you're going through, it's to causing people to look and they say, wait a minute, they've got a faithful word. They've got a smile on their face. They've got confidence in God despite everything that's happening. And I see that. I see that this God that they've been telling me about, it's not on paper. This God that they're telling me about, it's in their heart. This is real. This is true. This is genuine. And if He's doing that for them, I know that they said He would do it for me too. And I want to accept. I want to receive all that He would have for me. Amen? So let's see some things tonight. Let's be built up. Go with me back to the book of Acts. We were in 28. Let's back up to 27. Now, there's 55 verses that I need to get to you, and you know I can't do it. So we're going to hit the high points. But now, as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, the Holy Ghost wants you to get all 44 verses out of 27, chapter 27, and 11 verses out of chapter 28. So you make a note of it and you read it at home. Because the Spirit of God can hit you in a moment of time what I don't have time to tell you. Amen? Now, I'm sure as I'm breathing, I know that God wants to help everyone in this building in a situation. But you've got to do your part, and He'll do His part. Amen? All right. Look at Acts 27. Now, notice, we won't take time, but Paul is in a situation where he's having to go to Rome. And the devil always wants to try to get you out of season. But now, with God, though, God can make the season. Look at verse number 9. Acts 27:9. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous. Now, you mark that word dangerous. It's insecure. Insecure. Insecurity causes us to make bad decisions. And we're going to look at a word in a minute that means inconvenient. I make decisions when it's not convenient for me and it brings insecurity. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that God can't take care of it if we'll let Him tonight. Amen? So hold that in your mind. We're looking at both sides of this, no matter where you're at. It says, because the fast, talking about the Day of Atonement, was already passed. Paul admonished them. He advised them, you better do something different. Tonight, you and I, if we will take heed to this, the Holy Spirit is going to show us how to do something different. Amen? All right. He said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading in the ship, but also of our lives. the Apostle Paul being led by the Spirit of God. He said, I perceive. Now, I love this. This Greek word, theriero, it means to perceive as picture yourself sitting in a stadium watching a football game. You're sitting in that stadium and you're seeing what's taking place on that field. Paul's saying, I'm sitting in the stadium of God because we are seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6, in Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm looking and I'm seeing what's going to happen. Amen? And he said, I'm giving you an opportunity to change the course. They, of course, we know they didn't take heed to it. So tonight, you may have missed the course. I may have missed the course. Or we may have been in a situation where somebody else was driving the ship. It doesn't matter. Whichever side of the coin I'm at, you're at tonight, God wants to take this obstacle and make it an opportunity. Now, they go ahead and sail. But look at verse number 12. It says, and because the haven where they were at, because this port was not commodious, it was inconvenient. It was inconvenient to winter there. The more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lies toward the southwest and the northwest. They said, I'm not going to stay here because it's inconvenient. I want to go to Phoenix. I want to go to the palm tree. That's what the word Phoenix means. How many times do we want to go to the beach of life? Come on, it's nice and comfortable. There's a breeze blowing off the ocean. I can put the sand between my toes. I can just rest and do what I want to do. But see, when we do things that is inconvenient, we get insecure. Your security, my security, is in doing what thus saith the Lord. Whether the flesh likes it or whether the flesh understands it or not, because it's enmity against God. But your spirit, my spirit, come on, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we are the children of the Most High God. Amen? And so He wants to help us. So here they make this decision, and it was Paul to give them instruction. And look, this is the way the devil works. Look, mark this down, verse 13. They make this carnal decision, and it says, and when the south wind blew softly, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. Crete means fleshly. Come on, when we listen to the word of the world, to the enemy, it causes the flesh just to be right there. And when you start, the devil, he doesn't bring the attack immediately. He waits till he gets us in a place where he can do the most harm. So tonight, we've got to see, and we've got to be quick to hear and quick to allow the Spirit of God to bring us to repentance. Amen? If we need to change something, if we need to make sure that we hear those words that are going to be an obstacle where God can take and make it an opportunity. All right. Verse 14. But not long thereafter, now we can all relate to this, but not long thereafter arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Now this is a typhoon. This is a wind that's blowing north, north, east. Who does the Bible say the king of the north is? The devil's behind this all the way. Amen? And so they everything come from the south, and it looks so nice. But all of a sudden, when he got them where he wanted them, he brings on the wind to bring them down. I'm here to tell you tonight, you may be in a place where it feels like the wind is rocking your boat, where you feel like that there's no hope, where you feel like you're being driven where you don't want to go. I'm here to tell you that by the Spirit of God, if you'll say yes to what God tells you tonight, He will take that obstacle and He'll make it an opportunity. He will bring you through this situation and He'll put you on the shore that will bring to pass the will and the plan of God. Amen? All right. We can't cover this, but anyway, drop down to verse 18. Now, see, they wanted to get to Rome so bad because they wanted to make money. They wanted to take this cargo to Rome, but look what happens. This is the way all of us are when we're wanting the things of the flesh. All of a sudden, we recognize and realize what's really important. Verse 18. And we be exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day, they lighten the ship. All of a sudden, everything that was on that ship that was so important, it lost its value. Because when it gets down to life and death, all of those things that we're struggling for this carnal nature, this old man, we recognize and realize it's not important. And so I want you to see, here the whole crew, they recognize what they got to do and they start lightening the ship. But the storm is so bad, so dangerous. Look at the next verse. And the third day, mark it down, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. All of a sudden, the crew recognized and realized, we can't get it done. And so they bring Paul, all the prisoners that are going to Rome, and they put them to throwing the things overboard because they recognize that this obstacle is going to cause them to lose their life. See, we need to understand that there's certain things that the devil can get us in a storm of life, that it can get a hold of us and it can destroy what God wants unless we just say yes to God. But all we got to do is say yes to God. Now, don't get mad at me, but somebody in here tonight, there's a little rebellion in a certain area, and it's critical that you hear what God's saying to you tonight and you give it to God, and guess what? It's just like it never happened. Come on, the blood of Jesus covers, it washes away all sin, it makes white, and it builds you up and puts you in the place that God has for you. Amen? All right. Now, all of this is happening. I want you to drop down, if you would, and see why this is happening. They're in this place where the storm is getting so bad, and all of a sudden, look at verse 22. Paul says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship," just the ship. Now remember, when he got the first revelation, when he perceived it, what was happening? He said, "We're going to lose the ship, we're going to lose the cargo, and it's going to be a loss of life." Oh, come on now. Tonight, I want you to know that you have an audience with the King. You have authority in the name of Jesus to exercise some situations in people's life where the devil is trying to come and to steal, kill, and destroy. You have authority with God. You have the ability to say, "No, devil, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let your holy angels be loosed in this situation. Let them move. Let them minister. Let them bring protection. Let them bring what is needed." Amen? You have. God is looking for a man, a woman of God to exercise their authority and to stop the plan of the devil. Now, all of a sudden, he says, "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Glory. Now guess what? You've got an angel. Come on, the Bible tells you that. And so that angel is there. You need to learn to listen. Now we're led by the Holy Ghost. We're not getting into angel worship. We're led by the Holy Spirit. But God wants to talk to you. And He talks by His Spirit, but He can send a word by an angel. Now, we're to try everything that we hear. But I want you to know that maybe there's an avenue that we're blocking off and we're missing how God would talk to us. But Paul says, I want you to know. He says, "Sirs, I want you to know that the angel of God come to me." And he said, "Fear not," verse 24, "Paul, that thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee and all them that sail with thee." Oh, glory. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul and Archippus and Timothy and Luke, here they are. They're on this ship. And they're on this ship with all of these prisoners. Now this is where you've got to get real tonight. Allow the Spirit of God to show you something. These prisoners are going to Rome. And they're going to Rome, like Paul, they're going to trial. And some of them, they're going to sport. Now, the way the Romans had fun, they had that, they had the Roman Colosseum, the greatest architectural that we have from that time period. You can look at it to this day. What did they do? They threw people in there and watched the lions eat them. They cheered. They rejoiced. And they loved it when it was Christians, but they'd done it to all people. And so I want you to see that all of these people on this ship, there's a great chance that they're going to be thrown in there to the lions. A type of the devil. The devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? And so here Paul, all of a sudden, he sees that his obstacle is the opportunity. These people would have never had a chance to got saved, to heard the gospel, to seen the power of God, if Paul hadn't have been where he was at. He was there by the hand of the devil, but God said, let me show you what I can do. Tonight you may be going through something that you don't understand. It may be emotional, it may be physical, it may be financial. I don't know. That's between you and God. But God can take it and He can use it to make a tremendous difference. Amen? Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, second time for emphasis, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now notice this, verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now I want you to think about this, is how big, how good your God is. Now, not only is God concerned about, there's 276 souls, the Bible says, on this ship. 276. And if you look at the time of Josephus, there was many shipwrecks that he recorded from history. And there was one that he was on himself. It had 600 souls on it, and only 80 survived. So when you've got 276 and not one perished, that's a divine miracle, amen? That's the word from God. God spoke to Paul. Paul spoke the word out. Tonight, you need to speak out what the Spirit of God is dropping in your heart. Don't speak out what the devil's showing you. Don't speak out what the flesh is feeling. But say what God is saying to you, and it'll come to pass. Amen? All right, so here they are. He said, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. All of this happened to get those 276 souls saved, but it was to get Paul to the place where he could reach a whole island. Oh, come on now. We're praying for our family. We're praying for our friends. We're praying for this community. Amen? God is going to give us an opportunity to reach everyone that is in a place where the obstacle of sin is overwhelming them, where the obstacle of addiction is overwhelming them, where the obstacle of being led by the enemy is overwhelming them. God is going to give us an opportunity to what? To move by the Spirit of God with the Word of God that will forever change them. Amen? You've got to believe that. You've got to reach out and say, God, I thank you that what the devil means for harm, you're going to turn it for good. Now, that makes people mad. But that's God said it. I didn't say it. Amen? All right. So let's see what happens. Drop down with me. You know, they have no hope in themselves, and they're all afraid. And so drop down to verse 33. Verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them, all of these 276, besought them, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting and taken nothing. Now, every time you see the number 14 in the Bible, it means deliverance and salvation. Deliverance and salvation. So here they are. They're 14 days and they have not received anything in the natural. And this is a type to help us to see what Paul does when he brings Jesus to them. Amen? When you and I, when we start fasting the flesh, all of a sudden our spirit is open to be able to receive the true bread, Jesus, the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Amen? Now notice what happens. He said, verse 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Now, this word sotera, where it's translated health, it means to be saved. Amen? Now, you don't take my word for it. You can look it up just as easy as I can. But let's look, hold that thought and let's look at some scriptures to see it. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Let's see where this word is translated. Salvation. Same Greek word. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse number 68. Now Zacchaeus is filled with the Holy Ghost and he's prophesying, okay? And he says in verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath visited and redeemed his people," verse 69, "and hath raised up a horn of salvation," that's the same word, soterra, "for us in the house of his servant David." Now drop down to verse 77. Let's see it again. 77. "To give knowledge," why did he bring Jesus? Because that's what he's talking about. He's prophesying of Jesus Christ. "To give knowledge of salvation unto his people." How? "By the remission of sins." Jesus came to take your sins, my sins, away. He came to wash us in his own blood. Amen? Jesus Christ, that was his focal point, his mission. And so when Paul says that after 14 days, he said, I'm going to break some bread and you're going to take it and it's going to be for your health. It's going to be for your salvation. I want you to see the obstacle here. God turns it into opportunity for 276 people to eat of Jesus Christ. That excites me. Because I want to black the devil's eye for a change, don't you? I'm tired of him beating up on God's people. I'm tired of him playing the bully. I'm tired of him rattling on. It's time that you and I glorify God and tell him what our God through Jesus can do. Amen? One more verse. Luke 19, I think it's verse 9. This is Zacchaeus. Jesus goes to Jericho and he ministers to Zacchaeus. And look at verse number 9. "And Jesus said unto him," he said unto Zacchaeus, "Jesus said unto him, this day is what? His salvation. So, Tara, come unto this house, for as much as he," Zacchaeus, "also is a son, a child of Abraham." Abraham is the father of faith. Amen? All right. And we could look at a bunch more, but we don't have time. So here, let's go back to Acts. And let's look at it again. Paul said in Acts 27:34, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, your salvation, for there shall not an hair fall from your head of any of you." Oh, glory. Now, he heard this by the angel of the Lord who had been sent to him from God the Father. And then they were all, verse 36, "Then they were all of what? Good cheer, and they also took some meat." See, twice he said, "I want you to be of good cheer." They heard it, and now because they have received the word, they become of good cheer. Tonight, if you and I hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, we will leave here of good cheer. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, down about verse number 33, he said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have problems. But he said, "Be of good, because I have overcome the world." And since he overcome, you and I tonight can overcome. Amen? Now think about this. This is how great your God is. These men, these souls, they get to partake of this bread because of what obstacle the devil put into Paul. All right, quickly, let's see what happens. Drop down, if you would, to verse number 40. Verse number 40. It says, "And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea." In other words, they recognize and realize, hey, we've been anchored here long enough. I'm going to go where God would have me to go. Tonight, you and I, we need to raise some anchors. And we need to go where thus saith the Lord. We need to do what God says in His time and His power, where His perfect will can be done. We're in a time and a season where God is not going to allow us to stay in His acceptable will. He wants you and I to grow up and get out of the acceptable, and He wants us to get into the perfect will of God, but we can do it. Because it's His Word, it's His Spirit, it's for His glory. There's a good will, there's an acceptable will, but we're coming into the perfect will, the mature, the complete will of God. Amen? All right, so notice what happens. "And when they taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and they loosed the rudder bands, and they hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. They loosed the rudder bands. What does James chapter 3, verses starting about 4, 5, 6, what does it say? It says that your tongue is like a... They come in agreement with Paul, and they started saying what Paul said. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Come on now, you and I, we need to follow Paul's revelation. We need to follow this word wholeheartedly. And if we do, we'll get the same results that he got. We'll get the same results that Jesus got if we'll follow Jesus the Word. So he tells them, he said, I want you to loose that and I want you to go. Now, it says in verse 41, and this is where you, tonight, where your obstacle and opportunity, where they're at. Verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met. Right now, that's where you're at. You're in a situation where here is the moving of the trouble of the water of the Holy Ghost, and here is the opposition, the trouble of the devil. Come on. The water of the Lord is falling, is flowing from the throne of God. Remember, Ezekiel jumped in. It got deeper and deeper until it overwhelmed him. It was over his head. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. And if we'll get in over our head in the Spirit of God, in the water of God that's coming out of the throne of God, when we feel the water of the enemy, it will not stop you. Amen? So, he said, it's where two seas met, and they ran the ship aground, and the forepart, and notice this, you got to get this in your spirit by the Holy Ghost, you help me, by the forepart stuck, in other words, the front of the ship stuck fast. And it remained unmovable. Now notice this. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. You got to let go tonight. Come on now. Everything that's behind you, let go of it. Let go of it. The devil's going to destroy everything of the old man. All the old works, all the old desires, all the things that was in the past, let it go in the past. You hold on to the solid rock. You look forward to where Jesus Christ is leading you. And you're in a place where you're immovable. What is in the front part of your life, it cannot be destroyed. God wants you to know tonight that your life is not about what happened then. It's about what He's got planned for you. He's got goodness and mercy that is chasing you down. He's got a plan for you to be blessed like you've never been blessed before. He wants you to see it. He wants you to say it. And He wants you to manifest it and give it out to others. Amen? All right. So, The ship, they jump in the water. So the ones that can, they swim to the land. The ones that can't, they come in on pieces of the ship. Quickly, go to verse chapter 28. Now, notice what happens. And when they were escaped, from this this situation, they knew that the island was called Melita. Melita means honey. And it's a rock island. Come on now, there's honey in the rock. There's honey in Jesus Christ, amen? He is that immovable rock. They're in the perfect place. This is the island that Paul saw in the Spirit. This is the island that he told them where they were going. The devil doesn't know where you're going. Come on now, I want you to just give God glory, give Him praise. The devil thinks that he's going to kill Paul and all these 276 souls and take them to hell. He can't take Paul to hell, but he can take those that don't believe in Jesus, he can take them there. And he thinks he's got this all figured out, and God says, no, you don't. Not one of them is going to die. I'm going to keep my angels round about them. I'm going to keep my Holy Spirit bringing truth to them. I'm going to bring them to an island that's called honey. I'm going to bring them to a sweet place in me, and I'm going to use it to what? To win the island. To win the island. The things that's happening in your life, God wants to use it for an opportunity to show people how good He is, how His promises are yes, and you say amen to them. Amen? All right. It says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled the fire and they received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. I want you to think about this. Now, there, you can imagine what these men look like. Coming off this ship. They're prisoners. What they look like physically. And you can imagine this island here, they know the reputation of this ship that's going around, going to Rome. They know what kind of the reputation of the people that is on that. But yet, when these people come on their island, they see something different. They know that they're there by the hand of God. There's a glow of God upon them, and they receive every one of them. Come on now. You and I, we know that there's people hurting tonight. They're on the outside looking in, and they've been rejected by the church. They've been rejected by so-called Christians. And tonight, you and I, God is going to give us an opportunity, a divine favor, to shine the glory of God in their face and to show them that they're loved. People are going to be received. This coming awakening is going to bring in a group of people where that other people have forgot about. They're not even looking to for a revival. They're wanting a certain class of people, a certain group of people. But you and I, we want the awakening of the Lord. We want God to be able to use us to reach those who other people don't even think about, don't care about, because we have a love for them. Amen? We have a mandate from heaven. We're not building a church. Jesus is. We're not building our own religion. No, we're building the will and the plan of God. Okay. Now, notice this. The devil doesn't stop. Because he knows that there's still an opportunity. So he brings another obstacle. Verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened upon his hand. Now I want you to see this. This is something that happened in the natural to teach you and I something in the spiritual. In the natural, Paul goes and gathers these twigs. And the word in the Greek means that they were completely dried out. They had no life in them. Now, he's on this island not to build a fire in the natural, but to build a fire in the spiritual. So what this is saying is that what we're seeing in the natural, that's what Paul is doing in the spiritual. Tonight, you're doing a great work in the spirit. The devil cannot stand it. That's why he's coming against you in so many ways. Because the things that you're doing in the natural that seem like they're not important, they're mighty, they're great. They have an everlasting consequence on the eternal. Amen? You've got to believe that because Hebrews 11 and 3 tells us that God created. He formed everything that you and I see by His words out of what is on the other side. So the spiritual is greater than the natural. So the things that you're doing have already been manifested because what did Jesus say? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So you're led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, the daughters, the children of God. So you're building God's will, God's plan. So here Paul is. He brings the dead sticks, which is a type of bringing in the dead people, and he lays them on the fire. And as he lays them on the fire, you know the story, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened upon his hand. Why would you think you walking in the will of God, the plan of God, trying to do what God would have you to do, that you're not going to have trouble? You're going to have trouble. The devil's going to come and he's going to try to bite you. But you've got to stand on the Word of God. You've got to say what Jesus said. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, He said, 5 signs would follow you. Amen. He said that you shall drink no deadly thing that will hurt you. He said, you shall drink it and it will not hurt you. Come on, the devil put a liquid in Paul. The serpent bit him. This venomous beast bit him, and what does he do? It fastened upon his hand, verse 4, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he, verse 5, Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no Now, right here where it says, and he shook the beast into the fire. This is the same word. You remember where Jesus said that when you go into a place and they reject the gospel? He said, this is what Paul was doing. He shook off. Because, see, you've got to see that you're a spirit being in a flesh body. And the devil wants us to concentrate so much on the flesh, make us believe that he can do what he wants to us when he wants to. He's a liar. You're going to live just as long as God says you're going to live. He's got a book, and the Bible says in Psalms 139 that your days are numbered in that book. Glory. See, from the time I was a little bitty boy, the devil has told me, I didn't know it was the devil at the time, but he's told me how I'm going to die. And he's real good at bringing symptoms to make me think that it's real. God is a God of life. God is a God of victory. God is a God that says, I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to take you from glory to glory, as we were singing tonight, and you are going to glow in the glory. And when you glow in the glory, that means that you grow like you've never grown before. That means that the will is out of God's book is being revealed to you, and you're in a perfect place to accomplish the will of God. Amen? All right. It says, notice that, you know, they had a lot to say. It says the barbarians, they saw and they said there in verse number 4. They saw and they said. See, the world has a lot to say about what you're going through. Because just as soon as you start going through it, they'll say, oh man, I had an uncle. He had the same thing. Man, you wouldn't believe how much he suffered. And they couldn't do nothing about it and he died. I'm sorry about your uncle. But just because your uncle died don't mean you got to follow in his steps. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus Christ wants to break the curse off of your life, off of my life. Now, we got to recognize and realize that every curse that is working in your life, there is an evil spirit behind that curse. But when we become the blood-bought, blood-washed of the God of heaven, he said that we become blessed. And whom God blesses cannot be. So you've got to shut the mouth of that evil spirit who tries to tell you, you're sick, you're in lack, you're nuts. Come on, I've heard all of these. But we got to believe what God says. God says that I'm part of the anointed. You're part of the anointed. Amen? That he has a plan for good. And so anything that you hear or receive that's bad, you cast it down in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. Now notice this, verse number 6. Howbeit they looked when he, Paul, should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, unawares, unexpectedly. But after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind. Come on. You're going to be used by God to change some people's mind. You're going to stand strong in the fire, in the struggle, in the very obstacle of life. You're going to stand strong and show how good God is. And people are going to say, wait a minute, I didn't know that Jesus would do that. I didn't know that God could do that. I didn't know that the book of Acts was still being manifested in the world today, because I heard that all of those things died when the last apostle died. And you're going to say, no, everything that Jesus said to do, we're still doing it today. Amen? All right. And notice what happens. All of these obstacles is just an opportunity for Paul. Verse 7. And in the same quarters was the possession of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, and he received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever, of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now this is probably... Tradition tells us this is the Malta fever. And the Malta fever came about from drinking bad goat's milk. And so, most of the cases, best case scenario, they were sick for 4 months. And several percentage of the cases, it took 2 years to get over this if they didn't die. And so here Paul is, he is able to intervene in this situation in Publius, his, the dad here, the father of Publius. Publius means popular. And notice what it says. It says that Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. The obstacle was the devil said, I'm going to kill you, Paul. And God says, no, you're going all the way to Rome. You're going to where I said you was going. Tonight, you're going where God said you was going. And somebody's going to get touched because of it. The obstacle tried to stop Paul, but God turned it into an opportunity where Publius could be healed. His father could be healed. And when he was healed, all of a sudden, it touched the whole island. All right, quickly. It says, so when this was done, verse number 9, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were what?
Healed.
Glory. Now, think about that. In verse number 11, it says that after 3 months, they departed. So, I got to quit here. But Paul went from an opportunity where he went through a few weeks of obstacles, and he had 3 months to evangelize this whole island. And then, because of his faithfulness in that, because he was reaping what he sowed, he had 2 years to preach to every person in his own house. Okay, now this is where I get excited, because stick your thumb up, point it to yourself, this is my house. This is my house. Come on now, we're going to be able to preach to some people out of our own house because of our faithfulness in the trouble, our faithfulness in the obstacles. And God's going to give us an opportunity to reach people who would never otherwise be reached. Come on now, God's fixing to do something. There's a way that's coming, and it's coming through the child of God who's looking and who's believing, and God's going to loose, and He's going to open up some doors for you to do the impossible. We're going to be able to see the hardest of sinner to believe in God. We're going to see those who look like they have no medical hope. Jesus Christ, who took stripes on His body for their healing, is going to manifest Himself and heal them. They're going to be delivered from all sorts of addictions and hindering spirits, and you're going to get to be a part of it.
Amen?
Amen? Because you're willing to trust God and let God get you through your obstacle tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to see this with all of your heart. We have done no good tonight if we don't put this word to practice. Now, I couldn't sleep last night. Donna couldn't sleep last night. Our heart was on you. Our heart was on what God wanted to do in your life. Tonight, I want you to respond to the Word of God. I want you to trust God, and I want you to receive from Him, because you can be changed tonight forever. In a situation that otherwise that is dominated and controlled, and it looked like the obstacle was bigger than your God, God's going to show you how big He is. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. It's not about the preacher praying for you. I can do nothing. It's not about your brother or sister praying for you. It's about you taking by faith what thus saith Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for Your mighty anointing in this place. I thank You, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice, starting with me, is going to be changed. And they can take Your word tonight by faith. They can run with it. And divine miracles is going to happen. Just as Brother Corey said, by the unction of the Spirit of God, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Jesus, let that truth, let it resonate in every person tonight. You are the God that is above every sickness. You're the God that is above every hindering spirit. You are the God that is above every lack. Lord, help us to come and to receive tonight, Father. Draw in Jesus' name. Would you come? Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar? And say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. You're here not by accident, not by happenstance. You're here because God orchestrated this last night. My heart, Donna's heart, we were aching, waiting to see what God was going to do. So don't sit there. Don't sit there. Make yourself an altar and say, God, here I am. I want every obstacle. I want it to be turned into opportunity. I want to believe You like I've never believed You before. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, great things. Great things.